hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times.
You don't want me fighting for this country. I promise you that.
And right now we're in easy times. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting weak men.
And there's so many customers. I'm gonna...
One of the worst things you can do is be like, hey, you're perfect the way you are. You don't need to change. It's not your fault.
I'm really busy right now.
You need to change things. And now when I see old friends, they're like, dude, you've changed. I'm like, I had to.
Oh.
Very few people are actually too dumb to make a lot of money.
There you go.
Most people want to make a change and they have these big goals. You can't without money. Money is just a vehicle to get you to your destination. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you deal with it. If you don't design the life you want, you live the life you don't by default.
What are three things that everybody watching, based on your mentorship from a millionaire, would move the dial in their life the most?
Enjoy this flyover clip.
So JT, I'm so excited to jump into this book, what I learned from my millionaire mentor. And I think there's just two key things I'm excited to get out of today. And I know we're going to go into lots of stuff, but what is it like to have a millionaire mentor? And then how did you put yourself in a position to be mentored? Those are two missing ingredients in our world today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's great to have a millionaire mentor and really just a mentor in general, because especially as a young man or a young person growing up, you're so susceptible to things that are coming in. Mm-hmm. So then you have to like try to Aikido the bad ones away and like let the good ones come in. So then when you find, like I got great advice one time from somebody and they're like, hey, anyone that you talk to, no one's going to have the answers to everything. Have to get what you take, what people are telling you, say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And then you choose what you want from them. So you take the good and the bad. And then, so that's what I've done with mentors. And then how you put yourself in those positions is first, you have to be humble enough to accept coaching. Mm-hmm. So understand that, hey, you don't know everything. Even like right now, and you guys would attest right now, you guys don't know anything and you guys have business coaching. Mm-hmm. I forever will have a coach and a mentor.
Yep.
And because you need that. Like somebody trained Michael Jordan, but they weren't better than him, you know? And so you still have to have mentors no matter where you are at life. You have to have somebody.
That's such a great point. You know, as you were talking, it made me think there's just been times in our life that you look at somebody and you're like, okay, I really like this section of their life, but maybe their marriage is, you know, falling apart or whatever. And you're like, oh, I can't take any advice from that person. Why not? Why not look at a person and be like, man, they're really great with finances. I'll take advice there, but maybe I won't take advice, you know, in the marriage department. Yeah. And so really looking at that and humbling yourself and being like, not everybody has everything together. And I liked what you had to say about Michael Jordan's coach, that he had a coach that obviously wasn't as good as him, but he still had a coach.
And Tiger Woods and Tom Brady. Like it makes sense there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You still need it. And so you have, and then you ask how to find them. Just find someone that's doing what you're doing or mm-hmm. where you want to be in life and just ask. Like that's step one, or offer to work for them for free. Could mm-hmm. I assume somebody that you're wanting to mentor is doing something that you can work under them or be like, hey, can I just shadow you? Can I follow you around and stuff like that?
Some of the greatest mentors we've had in our life, I've never even met. You know, I started listening to Jim Rohn, you know, man, in my early 20s. And he was like in the background, like soundtrack of my life for decades. And
we would drive from, because we lived at the time, we were from Kansas, grew up in Kansas, but moved to Colorado Springs for a few years. And we would drive back, I mean, early 20s, we'd be driving back from Colorado Springs to Kansas to see family. It was about, 6.5, 7 hour drive. And we would be playing cassette tapes of Earl Nightingale and Jim Rohn. And at that time, it was Anthony Robbins. It wasn't even Tony Robbins. It was Anthony Robbins.
He still had his hair parted on the side like Spock, you know. He hadn't become cool yet.
I haven't seen these pictures. That's great.
Yeah, it's quite hilarious.
He hadn't become Tony yet.
No, but you're right. Those were our mentors.
And Tony Robbins worked underneath of Jim Rohn, you know, for years. And he kind of sensationalized it and learned how to make the big events. One of my favorite lines from Jim Rohn, he said he was talking, you know, with Tony Robbins. And he said, man, the fire walk, that's just unbelievable. But I tell you, if you want to draw a crowd, try water. He goes, they'll come from miles around.
they'll be talking about it 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
Well, something you noted that you guys were listening to that stuff in the car. So Clay's had tons of people on his podcast. He's gotten advice from everyone. Every single successful person he's met, one of their hacks is they turn their car into a portable library.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So there's no music. There's no calling people or mm-hmm. FaceTiming or whatever. It's, hey, there's an audiobook on, there's a podcast on, there's something. And now it's easy. Like, there's so much information out there, and it's all on Audible. Yeah. It's all on podcasts. Like, it's the most accessible it's ever been.
Define the word mentor real quick, and it's also kind of maybe juxtapose it against the word, like, apprenticeship. Mm. Because our country was sort of founded on this idea of if you would choose a trade, and maybe you do an apprenticeship that might last a year or 5 years or 10 or, you know, a number of years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and nowadays, maybe the closest thing we have to that is, like, maybe you work, you know, for an HVAC company. And over the next decade, you save some money and you kind of go off on your own. And, you know, there's that process, as opposed to what we've really enforced full scale, which is you don't have to know what you're going to do with your life. Go to school for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and get $250,000 in debt. But apprenticeship, Benjamin Franklin, you know, all the founding fathers worked in these environments of an apprenticeship. So talk about that model, you know, maybe against the straight education. What's the difference? Because I didn't need a mentor. I went to college. What is a mentor and how does that work?
Well, one, with college, you're learning from people who don't actually do it. So that's that's the biggest thing there, is that you're going, if you go to college for business, you're learning from someone who doesn't own one. And so that's obviously, I can't speak for every professor ever.
Yeah.
But if they were super successful at business, they wouldn't be a professor.
Right.
And then also, what school teaches you not to fail. And then with that, people go to get a degree for 4 years, and then they come out and they go into that and they're like, I hate this.
Right.
And now they're $100,000 in debt and they hate their job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they now realize that, one, it's hard to find a job in that industry, and that it doesn't pay well. Mm-hmm. And that they're never going to get out of that. So now they have to do some more Aikido and try to find the way out of it. The other thing is with a apprenticeship, what's great about that is, say you have an apprenticeship and maybe it's like a couple months and you're like, dude, I hate this. Nice, next.
Right.
And now
right. You
can try it. But now you're working for free for under someone, or you're even working for them, or you're getting paid or whatever. But you're learning from them, and you're learning from somebody who actually does it. Mm-hmm. So how I met Clay, when I first met him, I was like, I have a business degree almost. Like, I still have a 2-page paper to write to get it.
And you just still haven't done it yet?
Yeah, and I'm not – like, I already
did
the work.
You wrote a book. Wrote a book, but you haven't written your 2-page.
Yeah, it's still – like, it's – I've already done the work. It was like field ed and stuff. I had to go do volunteer work, and I've already done all that work. And the last thing I need is 2-page paper to write, and then they'll send me in my degree, and I won't do it just strictly on principle. Just won't. So – which some people understand. My mom doesn't. If she's watching this now, she knows that I don't have my degree. But but with that, I think that's really that's how I met Clay. Is I had gone to school for business, and then I went to one of his coaches' meetings. I went in there super like cocky, and I was like, dude,
it was like a business business workshop that was open to all people that own
this
companies
one was,
and businesses.
I worked for
was
one
it?
Of his clients, so okay. He has 160 clients that he coaches mm-hmm. every month. I worked for one of them called Score Basketball, and I got invited with them. The head trainer there invited me to come to one of the meetings and meet Clay.
So you're coaching young basketball players, young athletes.
Yep. And then I met Clay, and I'm walking in, and I'm like, oh, dude, I know everything.
I got a degree in this.
I got a degree in this. I know how to do a SWOT analysis. Yeah, that score right there. And I know how to do a SWOT analysis. I know how to do all of this. And I go in there, and it's nothing like what I thought it was going to be like. I thought it was going to be like some really corporate office. Everything's super nice and bright. Everything's professional. He's talking about SWOT analysis and talking about pros and cons.
He's sure not going to wear a sweatshirt that says boom.
Right? Yeah. Or shorts.
Or shorts. Yeah. Exactly.
And one shorts.
It's easy. You know? Whatever.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, yeah.
It kind of breaks. But like within the first 15 minutes of being around Clay in an environment, you know, like that, you know, you're like, okay, if he backs up what he just has presented, like, I'm going to have to maybe let go of a lot of things that I know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and to make room for what's actually going to help me get where I want to go.
Hello, Flyover family. Join me every Wednesday for the Prophetic Report at 11:11 Central. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on the Flyover app. We have such an incredible time of hearing from all of these different prophetic voices, like Robin Bullock, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Amanda Grace, and Hank Kuhneman. Every week, it's either 5 or 6 different prophets that are speaking. And what's interesting is God is speaking through them, and all of these voices come together like puzzle pieces. It is so exciting to hear what the Lord is saying. We're hearing from medical. We're hearing from military intelligence. We're hearing from the financial world. We're hearing from mainstream media. But the most important is, what is God saying? He has not fallen off the throne. He's not nervous. He's not chewing his nails. He is in control. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. What a great time to be alive. And I'm so excited for you to join me every Wednesday at 11:11.
Have you ever wondered about ancient civilizations or the moon landing, chemtrails, the Nephilim, demons? Those are all things that fascinate me. Decided to use our platform of the Flyover Conservative podcast and create a new show called Conspiracy Conversations. Every Saturday morning, we get together with some of the brightest minds in the world that have spent thousands of hours on a topic, churning through the research, looking at things. They've traveled, they've been to the locations, they're looking for the truth because they're as curious as you and I are about what's true. What is really true about our past, where we came from, where we are, and where we're going? We don't bring on guests to iron out their wrinkles and find out the things that we disagree on, no more than I go to the grocery store and try to put everything in the whole store in my cart. I just try to walk out with better ideas than I had when I walked in. If you got something inside you that's like, what about that? I don't even know if I agree, but I would like to hear them out. If you have an open mind and a curious heart, we've got a show for you every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, conspiracyconversations.com.
For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.